Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, usually your host. We have a little bit of a different setup this week. Not for the end of the show, though. We're going to have Russell Moore, our friend from Southern Seminary, talking to me at the Radical Conference. This is going to be one of our interviews from then. And he actually answers our inbox question as well. So we kind of have a two for one on that. But for this week's show, during the roundtable, we're going to have our own Andrew Hess hosting and bringing in a group of guys to talk about who knows what. I'm kind of relinquishing the reins, so I'm a little nervous about this. So now they're going to be talking about guys in the dating sphere, especially pertaining to when you're interested in a girl, but she's currently tied up with someone else. And I say tied up, maybe loosely. I don't know. We'll see how they address that. This week's show is sponsored by the Connection Plus Toolbar and Shopping Network. You can find out more about them at boundless.cvn.org. Go ahead and download it, and a portion of your purchase will come back to Boundless and Focus on the Family. So exciting stuff. And in the meantime, on with the show.
Well, hey there, Boundless. This is Andrew, and I am here with three of my good buddies, and we are going to take on a common question that we hear here at Boundless. First of all, let me introduce our panel today. We'll start with Nathan Pyle, who is he's a regular here at Boundless. He's on the podcast. You read his blogs. Nathan, welcome.
Hello, Andrew. Good to be here.
Great. And we also have Travis Williams, who's also been on the podcast several times. He's practically has his name etched in the marble here at the studios of Folks in the Family. Welcome, hey, Travis.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. It is good to be here, and I am excited about this topic.
Awesome, awesome. Makes one of us. No, just kidding. We're all excited. Jacob Holman is a new face here at the podcast, but we invited him to come in. And Jacob, tell us a little about yourself, and especially what you're planning on doing this summer.
Thanks for having me on today. I'm a student at a local college called University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. And this summer, I'm going to go to visit every Major League Baseball stadium in the country and see a game in each one. And so that is my plan for this summer. It's going to be quite the adventure.
You're going to do that in one summer?
Yes, one summer. It's going to be about 6.5 weeks.
That's good work.
Yeah, that is going to be epic. So that is not what qualifies you to be here, part of our panel, but it does show everybody yes. how awesome you are. So, all right, guys, well, what we're going to talk about today, this is a common question that we get here at Boundless, and basically people will write in and say, what does a guy do when he's interested in a girl, but that girl is dating someone else? Should that guy ever approach her and kind of share his feelings, or is she, in a sense, off limits? So let's start out with just that question. How do you guys respond? What do you think?
I'm going to jump out there and say all is fair in love and war. And I'm not so sure about war.
So you'd say that this guy should go for it, that he should, regardless of how awkward, he should just go out there.
Wow. Oh, Andrew, I know where I'm going with this. I've got a plan. I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say. I've vetted this question time and time again.
All right. So,
it is a good question. For me, if they are serious, then I would probably keep my distance. If I was interested in the girl, then I probably would try and still be some sort of friends with her, if at all possible. But outside of that, that's probably as far as I'd take it, as long as they're together.
Yeah. A lot of nuances here, because it's easy to say when you're on the outside, like, you're going to be the guy that's trying to pursue. But if you're the guy that's maybe dating the girl and the other guy's encroaching on that territory, you may have a different opinion on what's fair in love and war. But I agree with Travis. In the broader picture, it's all fair, but you've got a lot of nuances there.
It's true.
If your good buddy is moving in on it, that's guy code violation. You cannot do that.
Yes. No, I agree definitely with you guys. It's challenging. And I told, when Andrew brought up this topic, I said exactly what, you know, I just said a moment ago about it being fair. But then I thought about it, and he started walking away. I go, wait a minute. It happened to me. When I was in high school, I had this happen where I was a good Christian guy. At least I thought I was a good Christian guy. We can debate that on another show. But I was, you know, doing my best to live for the Lord, and I had a girlfriend, and she was awesome. And then this other Christian guy felt like he was more Christian than me and decided to move in on, you know, what I felt like was my territory, you know. Ooh. You know how us guys think, kind of. And it was weird and it was hard and it made me like very bitter and angry at this guy. Mm-hmm. To the point where, you know, I wasn't a violent man, but if I could be a violent man, it
yeah,
it was going to come out.
Interesting. So you had that experience and you felt that pain, but you still think that that was okay, or that was the way he should have done things.
I do. And here's, after thinking about it, it wasn't so bad that he was interested in the girl. It was the approach that he took.
Right.
In that, in doing so, and this is where I was thinking about some, maybe some rules and some code with this, and we can debate this a little bit more, is that I think it's okay for a guy to let a girl know, hey, I'm interested in you. I know you've got a boyfriend, and I want to respect that other guy. I'm not going to put him down. I'm not going to slam him. That's where it got sticky for me, is when the other guy starts wanting to put you down and almost compare Christianity.
Huh.
You know, I mean, that's where I think things really got tricky. I probably wouldn't have had any problem if you would have just said, look, I'm interested in you, but I'm not going to step on Travis's toes. I'm not going to make this big scene or whatever. And that way it gives the girl the opportunity to think about it. And if she really is in a tricky spot or she's evaluating that relationship, then she can go ahead and make the moves to break up with the guy.
Hmm.
Rather than, you know, have this tug of war within a relationship where now, you know, I like this girl, then Nathan likes this girl, and we're like competing, you know, like who's better.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That's a good point, because you kind of enter an area of speculation that way whenever you say, I'm better than this guy. Well, better is a very relative, very particular term to her perspective, your perspective, the other guy's perspective. So it becomes competition in a way that's not exactly fair, because then it's to a degree, well, he's a Christian, I'm a better Christian. And then it's like, no, don't even go there. That's just not right.
I have a problem with your view.
Roll him out.
So will everybody else when we see the comments on this blog. Yes.
I think it's good in theory, because guys love competition and we love to like win over the girl. I think that that's part of being a guy, you know. But if I were to have been in your situation where the girl like broke up with me to be with somebody else, I don't think I'd want to be with that girl anyways, because if she's going to leave me for some other guy, then what's going to stop her from leaving me or for doing that later in life, you know, and especially after marriage? And I feel like that would be much more devastating if you were married.
Oh,
and so it.
But wouldn't you want to know that on the front end? I mean, I feel like now if that happened, you've potentially learned something. If that was your girlfriend and she left you for another guy, wouldn't you love that pain before you were married than after you were married?
Yeah, definitely before.
Yeah, and Jacob brings up a good point, though. If a girl will do that, if, you know, if you're interested in a girl and she's dating somebody else and you know, you have a conversation with her and she decides to leave that guy, does that in some way show you a little bit of her character, that, you know, that she, you know, kind of takes her commitments lightly? Or, you know, in a dating situation, can girls kind of, you know, pick and choose as they will? What do you guys think? You know, would you think less of a girl who would be dating somebody and somebody else comes along and they just kind of, you know, get swept away?
I definitely would, just because the commitment would not be there, in my opinion, if she were to do something like that. Hmm. And that is a really big thing that I focus on.
Hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think if she's going to be that fickle, for lack of a better term, to just leave me for another guy that she thinks is better. But again, there's nuances there too. I mean, I think it's easy to say, well, she left me for him because he's got something materially better, something makes her laugh more. But is he providing her with what someone who she could marry would need? Is she providing her with a need versus an instant kind of emotional reaction?
Right.
And I would base that on, if she left me, I would say, well, why? Was it some kind of emotional, quick gut reaction that she did? In that case, yeah, it's a relief. If it's something that I'm lacking in character that she left me for, then I would agree with her, and I would have to just reset how I handle things.
Hmm.
But again, to kind of my earliest point of, is it fair? I think yes. I mean, because wouldn't you guys, I still think, wouldn't you want to know that up front? Whether if she's a, if she is a commitment, has a phobia to commitment, wouldn't it be as hard as it would hurt then? I think in hindsight, you could look back and go, wow, that girl did me a huge favor. I am so glad she dumped me. It hurt like crazy for like way too long. But now I'm actually get the opportunity to be with a girl who digs me, who I don't have to worry about. If a guy comes up and says, look, I'm really interested in you, she'll slap him in the face and be like, look, no, check it out. I'm with Jacob. He's my man, you know? I mean, that's, I think that's what us, all of us guys would totally dig and we would totally want. And I think that's something that there's an insecurity deep within us with this whole question. I mean, in my dating, I would hate it, and I would hate it if somebody came and stepped on my turf, you know, and said, hey, girl, I need to be with you. I'm way better than Travis.
I had some of that insecurity when I started dating my now fiance.
We all do.
Well, she was online, so her profile's out there for guys to see. She's kind of out there, and it's known that she's single. I've had 3 dates with her at this point, and I just had to tell her, look, this is how I feel. I only want to date you. If you don't feel that way, if you got other guys that you want to see, that's fine. I don't like it, but I'm just telling you where I am. Fortunately for me, she said, I only want to see you as well. But that was definitely an insecurity, because I thought every time I saw her would be the last time we may hang out, because some other guy's going to move in. He's got something that I can't offer.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that they'll tell guys, you know, if you get dumped or if a girl leaves, one of the things you hear people commonly console guys with is, oh, there's plenty of fish in the sea. And that's supposed to make us feel better somehow, that, oh, there's tons of women out there. There's great godly women out there. And so do you guys feel like that is a fair thing to say, you know, in a situation like this?
If you move to Colorado Springs, yes, there are plenty of fish in the sea.
Has that been the rest of your experience?
I'm just saying, guys, there are a lot of single girls in Colorado Springs.
I do know plenty of single girls, both at school and outside of school. So for here, that might fit. But it still doesn't, I guess, take away the pain that would be happening if that were to happen, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I do... what Travis was saying earlier, I do want to know beforehand if that girl is not going to be committed, you know? And I would rather find out while dating. But if she is that type of girl that would break up with me for somebody else, then I don't want to be with her anyways, you know, kind of what Travis was saying. Just because there's some lack of character that, at least in my opinion, there. Hmm. And so I would much rather know in dating, but for me, I wouldn't want to, on the other end, I wouldn't want to go up to some girl and try and, I guess, persuade her, I guess, to break up with another guy, because that's just not, I feel like if she's going to do that, I want her to do that on her own, and if she does on her own, then afterwards I might go and see if she's interested at all.
So you would just kind of wait. If you were like, oh, this is the perfect girl, I see it, like her family likes my family, and then there's just this guy who's kind of in the way.
That is one way to say it.
Would you just kind of hold back and just be like, I mean, is that something that you just put in the Lord's hands and say, you know, God, if I'm supposed to be with her, she's going to break up? Or to the point in the start of this conversation, do you go for it? Would you say, hey, listen, I know you're with another guy. I don't want to be a home wrecker, but
there's no home yet.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. But I kind of like you. I see some good things, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to walk away. You'll never hear from me again. Is that cool or not cool?
For me, I wouldn't necessarily just walk away and just not be there. I'd try and still probably like be friends with her, you know, and at least try and spend some time, not like in sticky situations or anything like that,
frolicking through the lilies.
Yeah, exactly. But just like
Travis William Books of Dating,
if we're in the same friend groups or whatever, just try and talk to her at least sometimes, you know, just keep that relationship going.
Yeah.
And for me, I would just kind of just wait and just trust God, you know, like you were saying, and just be like, you know, if this is supposed to happen, then God's going to make it happen somehow.
So would you ask about the boyfriend? Say, so how's everything going?
No, like, I might.
You guys, yeah, I mean, you guys doing okay? I thought I saw you guys kind of having an argument the other day. What was that all about?
I don't think I'd bring up the arguments.
Yeah, that could backfire too, that kind of friend role, because then you get stuck there. Because then she's coming to you with all the problems of this guy, and you're just like, oh, you're consoling her, thinking that you're moving in, when really you're not. You're still at the friend arm radius there. But I'm going to touch real quick on the other fish in the sea comment.
Sure.
I hate that phrase, because how many times you go fishing and you catch a lot of fish, but they're not what you want. So it's really not, you throw it right back, because there are a lot of fish. It's not about quantity. It's about quality.
Yeah.
So when you hear that comment, it's kind of a pat answer of yeah, you'll get by, man. You'll be doing okay. It's, what else can someone say? You know, it's like saying, well, people never change. Well, of course they do. But you could also say, people change. Well, of course they do, but it's all in degree. Right. So I never really liked that comment to console me. I'd rather just talk heart to heart.
So you think it's
heart.
Like a phrase, kind of like a yearbook, like stay cool?
Yeah, never change.
Yeah. It really doesn't mean anything. What makes you feel good at the time?
Yeah, exactly. Only it doesn't make me feel good.
So let's talk to this guy. Okay, there's a guy out there, and he's been liking a girl for a long time, and he's kept it secret. He hasn't talked to her. And let's say he even does, you know, he listens to this podcast, and based on what Travis Williams says, he's inspired to talk to her. And she says, you know, I'm really not interested. But he still feels like, you know, I'm just going to hold on to hope that this could work out one day. Is there a point at which that guy should just move on? You know, and what is that point? At what point should a guy just say, you know what, I need to kind of release her from my heart and kind of focus on what the Lord has next?
Age 32.
Perfect answer.
No, but seriously, I think...
Seriously, age 32.
Seriously, no, 37. Because 37 is the new 32. Yes, there's a point. I say, while you're holding out hope, you don't just sulk and hold out hope. You pursue other women and other examples. Yeah. And you do that up until the point you find her or that other girl comes around. That's a short answer from my perspective.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with Nathan. There is definitely a point where you need to move on. But I think... if you have a certain girl in mind, why not maybe spend some time with some other girls and just see if there might be some interest there that you didn't expect or weren't really looking for, you know, because you might be surprised by that.
And there's a danger with keeping that girl real close to your heart who you're not with, because suddenly every girl has to measure up to her standards. And you don't really know what those standards are because you're not with her. You know, you see a sliver of her life and who she's around, and you think, oh, that's just perfect. It's one of the grass is greener things. When in reality, there may be an amazing woman right next to you that you're not paying any attention to because this girl is occupying so much of your thoughts.
Well, let's be honest. I think for guys, we love that chase, too. So it's almost that more exciting, even regardless of if we even know if the girl's going to like us or not like us, just knowing that we might be able to overcome this obstacle could keep us involved, and then turns into infatuation and all kinds of other things that could come out, you know, deeply lodged in our hearts that we really wouldn't want to come out or try and explain later. I think not letting that blow up in your mind, not creating this romantic guy chick flick movie, like, I made a vow to her, I'm gonna stay by her side no matter what for 5 or 6 years until she finally breaks up, or, you know, I mean, and I know some dudes that do that. Creepy.
And there's the final word on that. I think too sometimes, you know, you'll hear women talk about as a relationship is starting, you know, the importance of guarding her heart. But I think that's also something that men need to do. And a lot of times we don't think about, as men, guarding our hearts, because we're the pursuer. We're the ones that's making the decision up front. And so, but do you think that this is a situation where that guy also needs to guard his heart? And what does that mean to you guys?
For me, guarding my heart is one of the things I'm actually learning about right now. I think God has kind of taken me through that. And it's hard because, like you said, I used to not be very good at it, but lately I've been trying to not jump into things like all the way in, which is what I tend to do, at least when I'm interested in pursuing a girl. And I tend to like focus on one girl and yeah, just go after her as much as I can. But that hasn't really worked out for me, and it's led to a lot of emotional pain. And so I've really tried to back off that way of doing things a little bit and just kind of ease into it a lot more. And I feel like I have a lot more control of that, and I have a lot more safety in that. And I think it's really protected my heart a lot better.
I think you have to be able to define what you're pursuing and why. If you're pursuing this girl who may be unavailable at that time, and you're giving a lot of your heart toward that because you think something in the future is going to happen, then that's fine. But you need to be able to draw that line to say, okay, where is this, like you say, Jacob, where is this taking me emotionally at this point, and what is going to be the return on this? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to see her smile? Yeah, because that draws me closer to her, because I know she's going to come around. Am I creating this fantasy in my head, or am I doing this to kind of plant some seeds that maybe this will go somewhere, maybe it won't? But I think you definitely have to draw those boundaries.
Well, I think it comes to the heart, and that's why, as I was thinking about this, is having some boundaries and some checkpoints along the way. If you're going to pursue a girl, I pray that you're confident as a guy that if you're going to step in the middle of something like that, that you are thinking through this and you're not trying to slam somebody else.
Yeah.
You're serious about your intentions with this girl. You're not just trying to play games. You're not just trying to win the girl. I mean, you really believe that God has put something there, and you have to be willing to if you're going to throw it out there. And if it returns void, you know, over time, you've got to be willing to walk away, and you can't let it consume your heart. You've got to protect your wellspring by being wise in these situations. And as soon as you start feeling angry that somebody else has got your girl, odds are you've got something going on that you need to deal with.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I see, and this is another question for you guys, is I see a lot of guys who, before they're dating somebody, they'll be kind of showing interest in a lot of different girls, or maybe not a lot, but maybe a couple, you know, that there's kind of different girls that they've shown interest in. And so, and this is a question we've gotten too, is it okay for a guy to kind of be intentional with a couple different girls who, you know, they may be interested in dating eventually, or should a guy just kind of set his heart in one direction at a time, even before there's a commitment of dating? Or is it, you know, because I've heard people give both sets of advice and do it from the Bible. So what do you guys think about that?
For me, I think that is okay. I think you have to be definitely careful with it. I think you can definitely lead girls on a lot and hurt them in that, you know. So I think you definitely have to be careful. But I think it could be helpful in figuring out, okay, kind of what do I actually like? What am I actually attracted to? Because sometimes, I know from myself at least, I don't always know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only really one way to find out, I guess. And that's to look for it, you know, and to search it out, I guess. And so I think that there's not really a problem with that. But I do think you have to be really careful in keeping the girl's heart in mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's easy to be a serial flirter and kind of walk away feeling proud of yourself, because we get our ego stroked when there's a lot of girls that are giving us attention and that we can flirt with and maybe meet a small need at that time. And again, like you say, you got to be really careful with that, because then you don't have their heart in mind, because you're kind of toying around with the idea of building yourself up and not really committing to pursue any singular one of them.
Now, I can hear the girls going, yeah, but that's still confusing. Just because you get to play on all sides of the field and kind of have this time to figure yourself out, what about us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
The girl would probably, and as guys, I think that's one of the challenges. We're still trying to figure things out. I mean, they say that girls are more mature than guys.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff, and probably true. But there's a piece of that that's kind of natural, I think. How do you figure this out?
Yeah.
And just be honest. Because if you were saying to a girl, look, I want to protect your heart. I'm kind of interested in you, but I'm not quite sure. So just don't get your hopes up, because I might let you down. Because I also kind of like this girl too, but I'm just really waiting on the Lord. I mean, I think that girls, if they were chiming in, would go crazy right now.
Yeah.
And if you are going crazy, go ahead and comment on the blog. No.
Yeah. Well, that, and I think that really hits on a key part of this whole issue is, you know, protecting her heart, guarding her heart. We need as men to always be careful as we, you know, as we take on these challenging topics, you know, and we kind of wade into dating and we're thinking about dating relationships. I think that should always be something we come back to is, am I doing this because it's what I want, or am I doing this because I'm concerned about her heart? Because, because as you move towards love, that's where we're headed. We're headed to a heart that considers her needs and her wants more important than our own. And so I think, you know, whatever is going on in dating, we come back to that and really try to be selfless and say, okay, how much of this is what I want and how much of this is what was best for her. So, well, thanks guys. Thanks for being here. This has been, hope this is helpful and appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Well, hello, everyone. I am very privileged. As you all know, I am here at the Give Me an Answer Radical Conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and I am across the table from Dr. Russell Moore. Welcome to you, Dr. Moore.
It's good to be with you, Lisa.
Very fun. He is, many of you know, we had him on the show before when he was talking about adoption just after the release of his book. Found out today, I didn't know you had five sons.
Five sons.
Just learned that today.
That's right.
Oh, my word. So he's a friend of us, a friend of Boundless, of course, and also a friend of Steve and Candace Waters, who we've had the privilege. Oh, Steve's back there in the booth eating right now. Thanks, Steve. It's not like Martha and I have eaten yet, but that's okay. Anyway, you know, I just call people out on the show from time to time. That's good. So Dr. Moore is the Dean of the School of Theology here at Southern Seminary and Senior Vice President for Academic Administration. We don't even know what that means.
I don't
that's
either.
That's just a lot.
So that's okay.
Okay, that's good. But I want to talk. You are a newish member to the Biblical Council on Manhood and Womanhood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We know others. I mean, those that D.A. Carson and others who have been part of that. Why do you feel, and it's interesting because this has cropped up now in recent years with more and more people getting in the fray. Why do you think that's even important? Why is it worth your time, Dr. Moore, to be part of something like that?
Well, because I think there's a lot of confusion, and there always has been, about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman and how men and women are to treat each other. And so one of the things that concerns me is not just the typical issue that most people think about when they think about gender issues, which is who can have reverend in front of whose name and those kinds of things. But instead, a little deeper level, it seems to me that you've got a lot of confusion going on in both directions. So that you've got, on the one hand, a lot of male passivity, not taking up leadership, but also a lot of what I would call hyper-masculinity. A lot of people who identify being quarrelsome or being pugilistic, being a cage fighter, with being a man. And on the other hand, with women, we have a lot of women in our culture, not only are kind of assaulted by the feminist, be just like a man kind of a message, but also by the, in order to really be a woman, you have to be a Barbie doll kind of an image that isn't biblical either. And so sometimes you've got a lot of women in our churches who are oppressed by having to look a certain way, having to act a certain way. And what the gospel does is to come in and liberate us from those kinds of expectations and to give a male leadership that's a Christ-like, washing feet, taking up a cross kind of a leadership and empowers women to do the things that God has called them to do as well. So I think that if you're not speaking to that and insistently speaking to that from the scriptures, then you're going to have distortions on either side. And a lot of the people, I think, who are confused about those issues don't know they're confused. They're just adopting either what the culture is giving them from Hollywood or Madison Avenue, or they're adopting certain cultural expectations, and they don't see why they're frustrated and why it's just not working.
Yeah. So where is the balance in this? Because we've had recently on the show and on the site, we've featured Mark Driscoll. I went out and interviewed him. And of course, he's, you know, then we hear from all the guys and they're like, all he does is bully us. He's yelling at us. You know, Jesus was a cage fighter. Yeah. You know, I like to paint. Is there no place for me in the church or in the culture?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then similarly, we had we featured a couple articles from David Murrow, who wrote Why Men Hate the Church.
Right.
And he's like, you know, yeah, all these guys, no one wants to sit here in the dark for 30 minutes and sing worship sets.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there is no place. So where can guys find who they are in Christ in the midst of all this?
Well, I think that Pastor Mark and David Murrow are making a good point, which is that a lot of times people identify spiritual with feminine. And so there's a sense in which in order to really be Christian, you really need to become a 75-year-old woman. And so that is a great confusion in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think they're addressing that to say, look, Jesus was a warrior. Jesus was a leader. All of those things are true. On the other hand, the picture of masculinity in Scripture isn't a stereotyped understanding. And I'm not saying any of those guys are saying that it is. I'm just speaking for myself right now. So you think about, for instance, David, man after God's own heart. He is a warrior. He's tearing apart lions and wolves with his bare hands. He's also an artist. He's a songwriter. He's a harpist. You know, that doesn't sound very masculine, a harpist,
no, it doesn't.
But it is in Scripture. I mean, this is a masculine warrior harpist out there. And so I think sometimes you've got some men in our churches who are claiming their masculinity because they're embracing something that the Scripture specifically condemns. I mean, Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, and it's all everywhere in Scripture, warning specifically to men, don't be fighting with each other over nonsense. You're to be a fighter and you're to be a warrior, but you're to fight it with the right things. And you're not to fight just to be fighting or to prove you're a man. On the other hand, I think that there's a sense of masculinity that is much deeper than the cultural expectation. So what I would say to that artist is you don't have to, in order to claim your masculinity, it doesn't mean that we transform you from an artist to a longshoreman. Or to a cage fighter. It means that you are a man, as God created you to be, as an artist. And the same thing is true when it comes to femininity. Femininity doesn't fit into stereotyped notions. So a woman that God has called and equipped in certain ways doesn't need to turn into what everyone expects her to be. God saves you with your personality, and he sanctifies that. And that's what the reason why you see, even in Jesus' own disciples, you see diversity of personality, diversity of gifts, but there are certain foundational things about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. So I would say to that artist, be the kind of male artist in which your masculinity is coming through in the way that you're expressing your artistic creativity.
Yeah.
That comes from the Holy Spirit.
Well, and good news for the women, too, because according to my mom, one of the reasons I'm not married is I share too many opinions. So, and maybe I'm a little too talkative sometimes. So I'm trying to work on it, you know, but hey, there's room for us, I guess, so in that. Okay, so we talk a lot about marriage here at Boundless, of course, and we know that you're a big fan of it.
I am.
Good. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
So we actually received a question from one of our listeners that I want you to address here, because it's from a guy. And, you know, we hear from women a lot who are like, I'm 28, 29, I'm 34, 35, and I'm still not married. And I thought it would happen for me by now. And I'm just so upset. And how can I be content in my singleness? And this is actually coming from a guy who's finishing out college. So let me know what you think about this, Dr.
Okay.
Moore. He says, I'm a college senior about ready to graduate. I've been on the hilly road of contentment to discontentment with my singleness throughout my college years. And as I prepare to graduate, I can't help but feel this discontent at an all-time low. I'm regretting not being as bold in this area as I should have been. I'm not necessarily losing hope, but I'm losing contentment in my singleness hardcore. Can you offer any advice to a young man who's tired of feeling this way?
Well, first thing I would say is that he shouldn't confuse drive with discontentment. So the fact that he wants to be married and the fact that he's motivated doesn't necessarily mean that he's discontent or that he's not trusting God. But it does mean that you have to be very careful in both being obedient in following through with trying to carry out the goals that you believe are godly for yourself, without at the same time thinking that you have the right to write your script for your life. And that's something that, for me, it wasn't with marriage, because I married right out of college and the Lord provided that for me in that way. But for me, it was with children. So I expected, you're married and then you have these children, and the children didn't come along because of infertility and miscarriage. And that caused me to have this time of bitterness. I wouldn't have articulated it that way, but I would, my prayers were becoming increasingly, why aren't you doing this for me? And what I later realized looking back is to say, if I had become a parent, father, when I wanted to become a father, I would have just seen those kids as extensions of myself. I would have been a horrible father. And what God was doing is working out something that was better than what I would have written for myself. And so I look back at my discontentment there and think, what are the things going on in my life right now that I'm exasperated about? And I'm thinking, God, you're just withholding this from me, when in reality, God is doing good to me in a way that is better. And so for him, what I wouldn't want him to do is to say, well, I'm going to be content, which means I'm just going to forget all about being married. I'm not going to worry about it. If he has a desire to be married, that's a good thing. And so I think what God is driving him to do is enough discontentment. That's a godly kind of discontentment. God says, I made you to hunger so that you would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So sometimes that sense of something's not right in my life is to drive you to pray. And maybe that's what God is doing, is he's saying, I'm not going to give you a wife just in response to your life plan, but I may direct you to a wife as a response of your saying, give me this day my daily bread and give me my lifetime bride. Might be that that's what God is doing. Might be not.
Yeah.
Maybe instead that what God is doing is God is calling him to a life of joyful singleness, and God is preparing that in his heart. Doesn't sound like it if he has this strong desire to be married. But I would just say what the answer to anxiety in Scripture is never just shut down those emotions and shut down those. It's pray.
Yeah.
Make your request known to
God. Well, and I think especially for men, a discontent can drive them toward intention. You know, we don't hear from him here what he's said to move him along that continuum.
Right.
I mean, there's a difference if he's been asking a bunch of women out and showing, you know, leadership in that realm, or if he's just waiting for someone to stumble
and
into his life.
Yeah, and making sure that he is working toward being the kind of man who is faithful to his future wife, which means what I would say to him is, look at your heart and look at your life. Start getting rid of all of your, with the power of the Spirit, all of your loser tendencies. If there's porn involved, uproot that. If there are all of these patterns that are going to be dangerous to a wife and to children, be faithful to your wife right now, even though you don't know her name yet, and then pray.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Moore, such a pleasure to meet you face to face.
Good to meet you face to face.
Weigh in on this. I appreciate your wisdom, even though, as I have called you out in the past, you are a fan of country music.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with that.
You're just totally wrong, Lisa. You're just totally wrong. You don't even realize what a loser you are by saying
that. So
sad. But I can introduce you to some Johnny. We've got Johnny Cash's second cousin.
Oh, no, we already put him on video. We already talked to him about
that. We can help you.
I did it, but that is okay. For some reason, Johnny Cash I'm okay with. There's just some others. Maybe I'm going to have to gradually get into it.
Yeah, Johnny Cash is a gateway drug that will get you where you need to go.
See, I'm more of a hip-hop, although I do the Southern Gospel. I love Southern
Gospel.
I
hate Southern Gospel.
Okay, that is not okay, because Bill Gaither is...
Well, Bill Gaither is like Johnny Cash to me. Okay. Bill Gaither is in the genre, but when you go beyond Bill Gaither, it gets weird.
Into all the quartets, that's where you have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's okay. We're okay with that. All right, you can find Dr. Moore at russellmoore.com, and that's M-O-O-R-E. He also tweets at Dr. Moore, so make sure you follow him there, because he's always full of witticisms throughout the day and a lot of great opportunities to follow there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that is it for this week's show. Thank you very much, Dr. Moore and Andrew and friends, for contributing. If you want to hear more of the show, go to boundless.org/podcast. And if you want to contribute to our inbox in the future, please write to us at editor@boundless.org so we can answer your question in the future. I also need to say that as we are taping this, it is my mom's 83rd birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. You do not often listen to this show unless I pull it up for you. Bless your heart. But maybe I'll have you listen to this one so you can hear my my greeting. So happy birthday, Mom, and have a great week, everyone. That's all. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org, focused on the family.